Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment, well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs, interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
My name is Jamie Hill. I'm the Design and Communications Manager at Embark Sustainability. I think my favorite thing about Embark is that you do not have to be the climate know-it-all. You don't have to know everything about the issues that are going on. You really just need the passion to get started. So depending on what you're interested in, you might have a unique skill or interest that you don't think is applicable to climate at all, and it turns out you are the people that we need to be part of the community. So I'd really encourage anybody who has even an inkling of interest in climate or food justice to get on board. Embark Sustainability Society is an independent, student-centered nonprofit working across SFU campuses. Embark focuses on climate and food justice in their programs and initiatives. Some of their ongoing work includes their food rescue program, learning gardens, and sustainability career nights. Discover your role in building a sustainable future based on your unique skills and interests. Learn more at EmbarkSustainability.org and follow along on Instagram at EmbarkSustain.
Welcome back. There were some massive technical difficulties. During the last song, F5 Tornado from The Boy from Bluegrass self-titled album, as I initially trashed my script by error, then I moved it to inbox, then I ultimately found it and I moved it to draft. Sorry for the delay. I would like to feature the SFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On January 9th, the BCIHL Red Leafs kicked off 2026 by hosting the Logan Lake Miners at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, where the puck drop was a few minutes after 7 p.m. Logan Lake earned a power play chance just 18 seconds into the game as Ethan Witten of SFU was penalized for high sticking, and the Miners opened the scoring just 13 seconds later as Taylor Schmiededer scored his third on the Red Leafs backstop, Cheyenne Kermany, just 31 seconds into the game. Let me take a look. Sometimes I often get the names wrong, so just a minute, please. Yeah, the computer, the on-air studio computer SFU is very sensitive, let's say. Yeah, that is the name. The first score was Taylor Schmiededer. Logan Lake hemmed SFU in their zone for the first 10 minutes of the game, but the Red Leafs backstop, Cheyenne Kermany, kept the Miners at bay, and SFU earned a power play at 11:19 as Kobe Koizumi of Logan Lake was penalized. The Red Leafs tied a game on the man advantage as Justin Osborne scored his fifth on the Miners' backstop, Connor Hatfield, at 12:43. However, the game was not tied for long as Lyndon Robertson gave Logan Lake a 2-1 lead at 14:08 as he scored his first on the SFU backstop, Cheyenne Kermany, whose 16 saves in the first kept the host in the game. As the Miners outshot the Red Leafs 18-12 in the first. SFU earned another power play early in the second period as Jalen Davison of Logan Lake was penalized for slashing at 2:22, and the Red Leafs tied the game just 23 seconds later on Gavin Bain's fourth on the Miners, Connor Hatfield. But Logan Lake resumed its territorial dominance on SFU. Brandon Pollock was penalized for cross-checking at 10:18, and the Miners grabbed a 3-2 lead on the power play as Talon Zuckel scored his first on the Red Leafs' Cheyenne Kermany at 11:24. Zuckel scored his second of the period with 3:08 left as Logan Lake finished period 2 of 4-2 on SFU, as the Miners outshot the Red Leafs 15-8 in the second, 33-20 after 40 minutes. While both teams traded chances during the first half of period 3, Tanner Turnus of SFU was penalized for cross-checking at 7:41, and Logan Lake went off 5-2 on the power play 44 seconds later on Jalen Davidson's third, which SFU answered 2:09 later on Pierce White's fifth. The Red Leafs ramped up pressure on the Miners late in the game, especially after pulling Cheyenne Kermany, but Jalen Davison iced the game with 19 seconds left in regulation via an empty netter as Logan Lake doubled up SFU 6-3 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center on January 9th as the Miners outshot the Red Leafs 45-32 in the game. Connor Hatfield earned a win after 27 saves for Logan Lake, while Cheyenne Kermany suffered a loss after 5 goals and 44 shots. The Miners were led by Taylor Zuckel and Jalen Davison with 2 goals each. Meanwhile, the Red Leafs were led by Pierce White with a goal, an assist, and Jaden Falchuk with 2 assists.
Recording now.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Tonight is January 9th, 2026. I'm right next to Storage 9 at Burnaby's Bill Copeland Sports Center, where the Burnaby Lakers lacrosse teams store their equipment. And in front of me is...
Nick Goyer.
The player who wore the C tonight for the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs, who were doubled up by the visiting Logan Lake Miners 6-3 in the first home game of the SFU-BCIHL Red Leafs and the first BCIHL game in the calendar year. First of all, what went wrong tonight?
We just didn't get pucks deep and hunt for those loose pucks in the corners, and we definitely didn't do a good job on the rush. They just shut us down. We weren't able to find open guys and get shots on net from the slot. But there's a lot we could have done, even in the D zone, covering guys in front of the net, and getting pucks to the weak side where there's a lot less pressure, and we can get it to some of our more skilled guys and let them go to work.
Another common theme I saw tonight was the shots against, which the BCIHL Red Leafs surrendered 45. How do you address this? Because this has been a recurring theme.
I just started playing in the second half here, so I'm not really sure what was going on too much before the half, but I know it's the same thing where I said we just aren't doing good jobs of getting pucks to the weak side and breaking a puck out. We're just messing around with it a little bit too much on the boards, and I think we just need to focus on getting pucks ice and down to the net. We can work in the O-zone and keep pucks in the O-zone as well, and just make sure they just can't get those opportunities to shoot.
Now, to the most visible question. You were wearing the C on your jersey tonight. Explain.
I think it just happened to be on the jersey, to be honest. Yeah, it was just random. Yeah, I don't know much else to say.
So who's the actual captain for the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs?
Jaden Fodshaw and Nick Wagner.
I just talked to Nick Wagner after the game. He is injured from what I understand, as he's waiting to get back with the team in February. What I also saw was that Jaden Falchuk, the current captain, did not wear a letter on his jersey tonight.
Yeah, again, I think it was just like a random mistake. I don't know. You got to talk to the equipment manager, maybe. I don't know who's in charge of the jerseys and the stitching and stuff, but I think it was just a coincidence, just a random. I think it was just a random mistake, to be honest.
Yeah. Now I'd like to delve into your hockey journey. Since an assistant coach said that you were called up a couple years ago, then you went down to Delta. Now you have returned. When did you start the game?
Oh, yeah. So, what?
When did you start the game?
Start the game?
Yeah, hockey.
Oh, hockey? Oh, I was probably 5 or 6 years old back in the day. Yeah. Played all through initiation hockey and then spent my midget youth with the Fraser Valley Major Midget Program, the Thunderbirds. Then I went on to play with the Langley Trappers and play a couple games with the Rivermen, and then I decided to take a step away from hockey when a friend of mine on SFU asked if I could come out, and that's where I played 2 years ago here. I played half a season, and then I decided to go back to junior for my 20-year-old year where I finished it out.
Which team did you return to finish out your junior career?
Delta IceHawks. Yeah, I returned to the IceHawks. Yeah, I had a bunch of good buddies on the team and felt like we could go on a bit of a run last year. We went on a solid run. Unfortunately, it didn't work out too well for us, but so it was a fun year. My fun year, yeah.
Tell me the moment when you were called back to the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs.
Yeah, I don't really have too much of a story. I have a couple buddies on the team, and I came out to practice, and then played in a game, and just one game in the first semester, and then talked to the coaches, and they liked the way I played, I guess, and wanted me to play. So yeah.
So, between the first half of this BCIHL season and now, where were you playing?
I wasn't playing. Yeah, I was just going to school and playing some beer league hockey, and I just wasn't playing any hockey.
What made you choose the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs over other BCIHL teams?
Because I'm a student at SFU.
A couple more questions. After the SFU Red Leafs created two teams, with the independent Red Leafs being created in 2023, a lot of the BCIHL Red Leafs have come from the PJHL, from what I understand, which used to be Junior B, now Junior A, largely due to the British Columbia Hockey League, which was a Junior A league, going independent. What is your opinion on that?
No comment, honestly. I don't know what's going on with junior hockey and stuff. So, I mean, I don't know. They can all figure it out, I guess. Do whatever they want with sanctioning, and I don't know how the leagues work, to be honest, but yeah, I don't really have a comment.
Finally, what would you like to accomplish with the SFUBCIHL Red Leafs during your second stint with the team?
Ultimately, I want to accomplish you know, championship, BCIHL championship, and that's like most of the guys on the team are looking for that.
Thank you for the interview tonight. Best of luck against the Vancouver Island University Mariners next Friday at BCIHL Powerhouse and the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
That was my interview with Nick Goyer, who had C on his jersey on his 22nd birthday on January 9th, 2026. I couldn't interview the head coach Guido Lamberti Charles as he was having a long conversation with Nick Wagner in the coach's room next to the SFU Independent Red Leafs locker room. Here are the current standings within the British Columbia Intercollegiate Hockey League. 2 points are awarded for a win, with 1 point for an OTO or a shootout loss. The Vancouver Island University are first at 10-2-1, 21 points. University of Victoria are second at 8-3, 16 points. Okanagan Lakers are third at 4-8-1, 9 points. The Logan Lake Miners are 3-4-2 for 8 points. And Simon Fraser are last at 3-7, 6 points.
Starting from the week of Monday, May 30th, the Student Union Building is open 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. The sub-building common spaces, along with the bookable spaces, are available for use. Any comments or questions, please go to the Simon Fraser Student Society website at sfss.ca for more information.
Now I'd like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition. Three events occurred on January 5th. The SPS announced on their Facebook page that they added 8 civilians and 12 experienced officers. Also on January 5th, according to Catherine Urquhart of Global News, which filed Freedom of Information requests involving impaired driver checks, and they revealed texts and emails between the Surrey councillor, Linda Annis, who is also running to become the next Surrey mayor this fall, and the SPS chief, Norm Lipinski, on complaints of impaired driving checks around the Morgan Creek Golf Course, where Annis owns a $2.5 million home, after which the checks stopped. Furthermore, according to City News Vancouver, Councillor Annis drafted a proposal to allow the SPS access to the city's traffic camera network, which has 500 cameras. On January 7th, Annis came on to the Mike Smith Show on CKNW, a sister radio station to Global News, to clarify her position, claiming that she mentioned 4 golf courses, including Morgan Creek, to the SPS chief, Lauren Lipinski, as she heard complaints from the GMs, general managers, and constituents regarding SPS impaired driving checks, emphasizing that she didn't tell the SPS what to do, including shutting down impaired driver checks at Morgan Creek Golf Course, and can't speak for the chief. Also in response to the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke, who has ordered an investigation into communications between Linda Annis and the SPS chief, Norm Lipinski, Annis told Mike Smith of CKNW that she hasn't been contacted yet. On January 8th, Linda Annis further clarified on Peace Arch News, reported by Tricia Leslie, that Annis was merely passing information, wasn't giving the SPS chief Lauren Lipinski any directions on what to do, and supports road checks anywhere in Surrey. The SPS emailed to Peace Arch News that it is not in position to comment any further, as the texts are now as the texts have now been requested to the Office of Police Complaint Commissioner to investigate. Trevor Helford, who is the South Surrey White Rock MLA and is the interim BC Conservative leader, also spoke to Peace Arch News on January 8th, saying, quote, "Elected officials really need to be careful on how we communicate, especially with elected officials. I have zero patience for anything that deters catching impaired drivers on the road," unquote. The OPCC confirmed that they have received multiple complaints on the communications between Linda Annis and the SPS chief, Lauren Lipinski. As for the latest numbers, I don't think there have been any changes since December. Let me take a look. Nope, there have not been any changes since December 2025 on the SPS transition page. 619 sworn police officers, 126 females, 493 males, and 497 civilian employees.
The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca.
Thank you for listening to episode 2 of the Steve Chong Show in 2026, part of a mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. Now to the last tune before 11, I like to play a song that actually happened in 2024, which is my favorite, Dustin Lynch featuring Jelly Roll, Chevrolet.
She was dressed to kill, I was in my booth, so I had to pick for the uptown time. Yeah. But we talked for a while in a corner booth before closing time. She caught me by surprise. She said, give me a dirt road, the window's down. You wanna get lost on the edge of town in a Chevrolet. She said, give me six packs of Brooks and Dunn. If you want a country girl, you just found one. Let's slip away. Yeah, in a Chevrolet. I think I feel in love right then and there. We were out the door before they handed us on. I said, where to? She said, I don't care. Just don't take me home. What you waiting on? Just give me a dirt road, the windows down. You wanna get lost on the edge of town in a Chevrolet. She said, give me six packs of Brooks and Dunn. If you want a country girl, you just found one. Let's slip away. Yeah. The windows down, wanna get lost on the edge of town in a Chevrolet. She said, give me six packs of Brooks and Dunn. If you want a country girl, you just found one. Let's slip away. Yeah.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, your alternative to mainstream media. Broadcasting from Simon Fraser University at Burnaby Mountain, British Columbia. Yeah.